We're going to be in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings tonight. Originally, I had wanted to, I had planned to do it all, but I've changed my mind since my first thoughts of doing that. So I'd like to cover at least the first 22 verses of the 18th chapter. The 18th chapter, that's a little less than half. There are 46 verses in all. So I want to pray, and then we'll commence with our particular lesson for this evening. Once again, we come before you, Father, in heaven of all glory and power. And we're grateful because you did not have to allow us to have this opportunity, but we do have this opportunity. We live in a time where in parts of this country, they want to officially rule out your word. And even if there are laws that are man-made, that so-called rule out your word is not ruled out. We live in certain parts of this creation that you've allowed to exist by the word of your son's power, his powerful word, where people would want to harm, injure, and murder those who actually trust and obey your holy and righteous word. We're living in a time of chaos and a time of uncertainty if we continue to look with man's eyes and with a weak heart. And you know sometimes because there's this duality inside of us that we need to seek your face and we need to obey you and to be reassured, and comforted by your word. And as we continue to go into scripture, Father, it looks like you continue to want us to turn to you because you have all the answers. You have all the answers and the power. As we go through the scriptures from time to time together and by ourselves, help us to see you, help us to hear you, and help us to be humbled under what you've told us is how you told us history is going to play out. And sometimes because we don't see things immediately, our hearts grow faint. In those times, Lord, when it seems that we might be in the cave, hiding, taking comfort from the perils that are out there, give us the strength and feed us. Help me, Lord, as I attempt to talk about a passage of your scripture. And feed us, Lord, feed us and give us strength. And day by day, as we live, these scriptures that we continue to study from this bread, this water, may it give us the strength that you intend for us to have. I'm asking these things in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. I've already stated that I want to go through almost half of the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. And doing that, I want to give, I guess, a synopsis of part of chapter 17. And then I want my wife to read the first 22 verses. This is also, as I've said, I think on the last two occasions when I've tried to talk about the scripture, this is a familiar passage. And that it's familiar, I think, that there is sometimes danger, I guess you could say danger. There's the carelessness to not think that we should still take heed to what's in God's word. And hopefully we won't be guilty of that. My title for tonight is The Highest Insubordination. Repeat it again. The Highest Insubordination. I'm going to look at that one way and then a second way. When I say highest, that's what some people will call a superlative. That means there's a selection. It could be, let's say, at least three, more than two. Highest insubordination. What is insubordination? If we look at it on what I'm going to call natural terms, since that's, I think, how we think most of the time, when there is a superior professionally on a job, on a team, or what have you, that would meet out, give instructions. There's usually what some will call a hierarchy or an order by which things are done. You go through the proper channels to get your information. the highest insubordination. Insubordination in that you have ceased to listen to me as the leader, as the manager, as whoever I might be in this particular function, role, capacity. And you've done your own thing. It's insubordination. That's insubordinate. And so tonight, we're looking at still King Ahab and what he wants to do to, in his judgment, let's put it that way, what King Ahab, because he's the king, powerful, powerful, I say. So he wants to judge the prophet Elijah, but there's God, highest order, highest authority, highest government, highest, supreme, no one above, no one beside. Let's kind of go back by way of review. And so you can say it's always included in the lesson, but sometimes the way I bring it about, you say, okay, well, I did this, that's part A, and then we're going to, the rest of it is part B. I want to include this. And I mentioned it on last week. I looked at it again. And so when you're looking at the 17th chapter, we're finding that in that first verse, this first two, maybe three verses, is when it seems that the scripture tells us that God communes with Elijah and he gives him his call. He says, this is what I need you to do. I want you to go deal with this wicked king. Ahab is from the north. Go tell this wicked king something that I'm telling you to say. Now, in light of, if you all have been with us at any point where we've been looking at on the other nights, Thursday night and on Saturday afternoon in the Psalms and prior to that, we've been learning about the counsel of God. So I feel like mentioning it. When the prophet was following God, you'd understand that the scripture would often say that the word of the Lord would come to him. So there's a particular verse tonight when we get there is verse 12. And I just want to talk about some possibilities. But in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, around those first three verses, you see that God has come to him. So I wrote this down and it says pronounced judgment. And I'm going to try to read them fairly quickly, but not so quickly that you don't know what I read. Listen at 17:1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. Now, when we look at that, it looks like in one sense that Elijah saying it's his own word. But let's understand, he knows from whom he gets his orders. He knows to whom he is supposed to give them. He's given them to the king, highest person in Israel, to, let's say, before the people of God. God is telling me to pronounce this judgment to you. I'm a prophet. Your power stops when God tells me what to say and you're out of line. Your power stops. Well, he said, is according to the word of God. That's verse 1. Verse 2 of the 17th chapter. Listen in it. And the word, I'm talking about the word. The word. Let's just marinate on that for a minute. You know what, saints? We're looking at the word of God right now. It just, in some sense, we look like we've got signs and symbols and meanings and so forth. But we better understand something. There's a greater presence that sometimes we might miss if we truly don't engage the word. There is content. There is weight. There is judgment. There is history. This is to give us to know how to live and what consequences are for walking outside of the will of God. The second verse is, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence. Now this word of the Lord, I didn't think like this before. It was like somehow it's like the word of the Lord. I said, so maybe in his imagination, in his quiet time, and maybe this is, I think it's more than that, because the Bible talks about 1 Peter 1:11, how the Spirit of the Lord would testify of Jesus Christ before they really even knew him. Check out 1 Peter 1:11 if you want to. You may not. But the word of the Lord, how did he manifest himself to Elijah? Said he came. It said he came. Did he just hear it? Did he see it? The scripture gives We're going to look at one, Lord willing, tonight, where it looks something similar to that. So the word of the Lord came. First verse, he's given acknowledgement that God has told me to pronounce this judgment. There's no rain. Let's remember something. Elijah has come to the king of the north where there has been nothing but wickedness, nothing but idolatry, whoredom all in the land, high places, under the trees. And it's to the storm god Baal. The storm god, those people had decided, we trust in the storm god who controls the weather. Let's put it like that. Sun god, storm god, controls the weather. And if we please him, he will be gracious to us and let it rain. When God has said, I'm trying not to get so excited tonight that you can't understand me. God had told them many times in scriptures before we've looked at it. Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, around 16th and 17th verse. He says, if you don't obey me, I'm going to stop the rain. If you don't obey me, basically in so many words, the ground will be dry. If you don't obey me, don't expect dew. That woman, give me a mountain with nothing to do. Not that kind of dew. The dew that comes from, what do they call that? The condensation of the fog and humidity and all that stuff would help the crops and so forth in the water. We've talked about it. Is this the pre-incarnate Christ that appeared before Elijah? So I'm going to jump, if you will, to the New Testament, and then I'm going to go back to my review, and we're going to go into the 18th chapter here shortly. Well, the Bible talks in John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? It says that. If you read on that, say, oh my goodness, is it talking about the Word, or is it talking about the person of the Son of Jesus Christ, God with us, Emmanuel, unto us a son is born. John, I think it's 1 and 4. Come on, I mean, what? Chat, what did I say? The Son of God, child, yes. And I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think since we know the scriptures a little, we can understand what I meant and where I'm coming from. 14th verse, I think it says, and the Word, John 1 and 14, I think it says, and the Word was made flesh and he dwelt among us. So when we look at Christ before he took on flesh, he is John 17 and 1. I know I was going to say all of this. I know I was going to say part of it. John 17, 1, Gospel of John, maybe second, third verse. He asked God, return the glory to me that I had with you. What does this mean? Who is the word that keeps coming to Elijah? Why are we even studying? Why are we even remembering? Why are we rehearsing? Why are we judged by this? Because there's consequences and there's joy in the presence of God. He gives instruction. That's his grace. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men, that teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, grace appears and teaches. Well, in my little synopsis, in the 17th chapter, in the 5th verse, we see that this prophet obeys. Well, just to kind of close it down, because I have some other verses that I would actually like to give, but I'm not going to do all those because that's what we did last week. Elijah obeyed the word of God. The word, he received it, he listened, he obeyed, and in a perilous time, he went to an unlikely widow, one of the persons up north, from a group of people who did not even believe in Yahweh. Group of people, when we look at Ahab had married Jezebel, who was extremely wicked and would help turn the hearts of the people from the northern region away from God. Her father was the king, and he went in that area. And I like the way Ann was talking about it last week. Said, who would have thought that he would go so close to where the enemy's family was? But he was there because God told him to. But he went to this widow and he said, I need you to prepare first for me food. And she did that. She didn't acknowledge God at first. Do I think she recognized that he was a man of God by his clothes or his ethnicity? I think she did. He said, you do this for me. And before you knew it, some say it was a different woman, the child of that woman died. Elijah says, give him to me. He takes him up into the loft. Some people think he spread his whole body over him. I think that he might have spread maybe his hands or whatever. I can't tell you for sure. And he prays to God. And the word of God, God hears this Elijah's prayer and he heals this boy. So we understood last week as I was trying to bring us through that particular passage, that during this course of time, there's about 3.5 years, according to James 5 and 17, 3.5 years that have passed. And the queen of this Ahab has been reaping havoc against the people of God, which stands to reason as part of it, maybe, why God said, you know what, Elijah, I'm gonna keep you safe. You go on and get out of Israel. I'm going to have the raven feed you. I'm going to have a widow feed you, and I'm going to take care of you. But when it's time for you to go back and do whatever else I tell you to do, hear my word. Now it's time. And so we're going to learn some other things. If you don't remember, if you haven't read it, there's a righteous man of God by the name of Obadiah. We listen sometimes to some scriptures, sometimes our stories for children are, and some, one of the things we used to listen to was that Obadiah, a righteous man of God. We're going to look at him tonight. Dree, I want you to, if you would please read the first 22 verses of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, so we can go through some of these verses.
And it came to pass after many days that the word of Yahweh came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared Yahweh greatly, for it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of Yahweh, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I said that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As Yahweh thy God lives, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord has not sent to seek me. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the spirit of Yahweh shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear Yahweh from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as Yahweh of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubles Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of Yahweh, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Yahweh be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word.
Thank you. So now we're going to take time to look at these scriptures here. Go ahead and know that I do want to turn at a certain point to Ezekiel, the third chapter. I want to look at something in there. Hopefully we can make some association or connection. I'm also wanting to look a little bit at Revelation, the second chapter. I want to make a little bit of commentary that you can call them maybe sidebars, if you will, but there's reasons that I want to do this. So we go back here to this 18th chapter, and we see that God is now three years, six months, have called Elijah to come back. Your time of waiting for when I'm going to say it's time to reign. Remember in the first chapter, the 17th chapter, I think first or the second verse, he tells Ahab, that is Elijah tells Ahab, that it's not going to rain until I tell you. But he's waiting on God to give him the when. So he's being patient. And so God calls him back. So listen, you know, I like to go back and read the verses if I can. So it hopefully will help you follow me. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Here, is this the pre-incarnate Messiah Christ that we have here? How did he come? Did he just hear? I'm not going to try to tell you how it happened. I just think it's something for us to think about. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, like counseled with him in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now you have been waiting. You pronounced the judgment. You were obedient. You did have to endure some things that were not comfortable. Ouch, Gary, you better listen to this. Now it's going to come to fruition that you can see, and the ones that oppose you, the ones who truly oppose me, they're going to meet their judgment. And ain't a thing they can do to stop my powerful, mighty, righteous hand. Yeah. Listen, second verse. And Elijah, he went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. So when we think Samaria, we need to think the northern portion. It's higher. It's going northward beyond the region of Judah. It's very near Phoenicia, where Zarephath was, the Zidonian was. So it's going up in that direction, if that makes sense to you. Remember, we talked on last week that the famine was so severe that it actually even spread up into the heathen nation. Well, we're seeing, okay, it's in Samaria. It was such to the point that the way if we read this and understand this, it looks like Ahab is out doing some work himself. Now, let's read this third verse and I'll make some comments on it. So Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. There was a sore famine in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Fourth verse, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Now, there's some things that we might miss here. I don't think we'll totally miss them, but it's my job to hopefully call our attention to some things and things that I miss. You all share with me in our discussion. Remember when I talked about Elijah hiding? Well, this is part of the reason. The Bible tells us that Jezebel killed some prophets. Some prophets were put to death because of Jezebel. Jezebel is the queen. This is part of the protection in God's wisdom that they were not to have any other God before them. But because they were not meticulously, what's the word I want to say? Humble before God, they closed their eyes, they closed their ears, and did not think about all that you have said, Moses. When we get there, we will do. We will follow the laws and the commandments, the statutes, the precepts, the order, the government that God has established. Because we've seen him, because we trust him, first because we love him. They did not adhere to what was promised. So now you've got them who have committed adultery, spiritual adultery, by taking part of these religious practices of homosexuality and offering their children up before these other gods. We've talked about it. And God is dealing with him. This was because of Jezebel. Now, listen at it. What did Obadiah do? This man shows some courage. Obadiah, I don't know how he selected him. I don't know. But 50, I don't know how close the cave was to where he was living, but it looks like because of the position that Obadiah had and that he was over the house of the king, it made me think of Benson. You remember that show a long time ago, the governor who was supposed to be kind of stupid in the head every now and then, and Benson was like taking care of the governor's mansion? That's kind of what this made me think of. Obadiah has a position in that he is able to still work on behalf of God under a man that is wicked. Obadiah hides 100 prophets in 2 different caves, and he gives them physical provision. It made me think of when Elijah was out by the brook. Here's Obadiah doing the same thing. I wonder how long he fed him. We don't see right here, I guess. It would seem like it would be for the 3 years. I wonder what they look like. I wonder if they look strong. I wonder if they look sturdy. I wonder if they look like they were lacking. The Hebrew young men didn't look like that. I don't know. It's just a question. My point, though, is this, that sometimes when things look very meager, God can sustain us. And if we trust him, he will sustain us. If we trust and keep the word that he has given to us, he will keep and sustain. That does not mean that you won't suffer. That does not mean that you will not be. It does not mean that. But what is eternal life? Romans 8, around, I think, 35, 31, 32, it says certain things. It's not peril, nakedness, hunger, and all these things is not going to separate me from the love of God. Obadiah has been very courageous right here. But we're going to see another side of him where he's talking to this prophet, Elijah. He's not going to seem as brave, but sometimes we don't know. But we still got to trust. Let's go back and look at it. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets, prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all mountains of water. Did I read that right? Because I've written in my Bible, I think, all mountains of water and unto all brooks.
All fountains.
Thank you. I put mountains. I was like, that. I don't remember reading that. All fountains. Thank you. All fountains of water. And unto all brooks, peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all of the beast. What can you infer? Some of the animals are dying. And the part of the livelihood, how you're going to travel, how you're going to eat, how you're going to get some of your clothes, just different things. Now, some believe that the king Ahab, that he didn't really go by himself, but because it's like, okay, this man is royalty, and he's out there. He tells his servant to go one way, then he goes another way. I can't tell you. That seems like it's a likely, surmising of that. But he could have servants to do it. And when the servants will go and do something on behalf of the superior, the king, royalty, then it's accounted as if that, in this case, king did it. So I can't tell you one way or not with certainty. He might have been out there and just telling the people what to do, but they split up. And it's like, I was thinking, Ahab knows that he's gone against God. But do you see how he's going to find God's blessing anyway? Let me repeat it. This fool, and if you're offended by that, then you need to, no, I'm not trying to be flippant. We need to understand how the scripture talks about one who, when he knows, when she knows what is right, to go against God's word, is foolish. This is a fool to turn God's righteousness as if it's like nothing. He goes out and he's looking for the source of water anyway. Deuteronomy 11, 16, 17, which this man knew about, he's like, I'm going to go find it anyway. It reminds me of some of these false prophets on television, some of these false prophets on the radio, and all they want are women in their beds, little boys in their beds, and all the money that they can get, and will try to teach off of half a scripture, not even a whole scripture, never going through a whole book of God's word to understand what the context is, never knowing what the history is, what was said in the Old Testament, how does it meet in the New Testament, what is the whole of God's word, the counsel of God's word. He always wanted obedience, and he always wants the heart of man, and he always, let me tell you what the world, how they don't say it, he always wants to love the ones who obey him. But he says, I will destroy the wicked. That's love, to tell the truth from the beginning. Now, this Ahab is going to go force the blessings of God. Now, you say, well, Gary, maybe not. If he was serving this Baal, and he was expecting Baal. You are right about that. He was expecting Baal, but at the same time, he was purporting him. Can I say purporting, Dree? Purporting himself to still be the king of God. That is called syncretism. When you mix that which is unlawful with what God has said and it's lawful. Syncretism. What's syncretism? Synchronization of watches. We just had what they call daylight savings time or something like that. And I believe this past Saturday, some of us set our clocks back. Maybe some of us forgot. And we synchronized our clocks, however many we had, watches, clocks, microwave, whatever, what have you, so that they could say the same thing. So it was, okay, they're all on the same plane. So syncretism is when you take things of another faith, another philosophy, another religion, another culture, when it is against God. I said the magic word, culture. Now, how do people live? How do people believe? It goes beyond just what they eat. It goes beyond just the a festivity. What do these festivities mean? Oh my goodness. So Ahab says, I'll do what God says, and I'll mix a little bit of what Baal says, but I'm going to trust in Baal. God said, not so. You don't put a God before me. You don't put a God beside me. There is no other one. There were others, but comparatively, I think not. So here we have this Ahab looking, let me see what time it is. All right, we have this Ahab looking for water so he can keep his cattle, his livestock alive. The sixth verse. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. So you say, well, Gary, what are you going to do with that if it wasn't really Obadiah? I really don't feel like that's the hardest thing. If it wasn't Ahab, this could mean that they just weren't together. When we look at language, sometimes there's sometimes representation of a thought with a certain collection of words. Maybe that made sense to you. In other words, if they were apart, even whether Ahab was out by himself or his men, the fact that Obadiah was one way and either Ahab or his other men was another way, then that means they weren't together. So anyway, let's continue on with where we are. So they're out looking for water, and God, who understands all things, he allows Elijah, who many would say he just came from nowhere. Now, he didn't just come from nowhere. He had a childhood. He had a mama. You just come from nowhere. We just aren't privy to that information. So here comes Elijah. Elijah and Ahab, they have a conversation. So listen to where we are. We're at verse 7 now. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him and fell on his face. And he said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? Oh, my. So here is Obadiah been feeding these men. And you see that they knew who Elijah was. We may not have known who Elijah was, but he recognized him. I just believe that Elijah, look at me mixing the names. Elijah had been faithful to God, and he was known to be a servant of God, faithful indeed. And he shows this man who carries the gospel. When I say the gospel, I'm not talking about like how we refer to it in the New Testament, but in a sense, it's still the word of God. So, yeah, I recognize who you are because of who your allegiance is to. I didn't put you before God. No, you carry the truth. You carry righteousness. You carry distinction. You speak holiness. I know who you are. I know who you belong to. And he shows him reverence. And he says, and I'm at verse 8, and he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. We've been looking. Yeah, I know. Well, y'all been looking for me. Just go tell him I'm here. Go tell him. Oh my goodness. Now, Obadiah, like, hey, you asking a lot for me. Now look, we got two people who've been working for the Lord, and we need to understand that there was more than just these two people. We're going to see that around, I think it's the 20th chapter. I can't remember. When Elijah's talking to God, he said, I'm the only one. God said, look, you're not the only one. Okay. So we got Obadiah, and maybe what Obadiah has done doesn't seem so significant. But if we pray for our brethren, wherever they are in this universe, we can do God's will. Lord, have mercy. But Obadiah, like Elijah, did you know what you're asking me? We've been looking for you. We had an APB. Is that what you call it? All points bulletin. Everybody.
If you see Elijah, please.
Obadiah. We done told him, we done searched high and low, to and fro, east and west, north and south, up and under, all around. And we said, you ain't nowhere to be found. Elijah, this is scary news. This is something, I don't know about this. And the ninth verse says, and he said, what I have sinned. That don't look right. Dream, will you read verse 9 for me? And he said, yeah.
What have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hands of Ahab to slay me?
Read one more. As the Lord,
as Yahweh thy God lives, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord has not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not.
Okay, so what he's saying is basically kind of how I phrased it. He's like, look, I don't know what I've done, but since my youth, I've been showing God honor. I've been obedient to God. I've hid these prophets. We're going to see that. I've hid these prophets. Don't you Elijah, don't you know? Now you're asking me to go commit suicide. I got to go tell him, no, he's over here. Well, so we got a little trepidation in his heart. It's like, what have I done? Searching high and low, and nobody's found you in any of these nations. Now the 11th verse says, and now, thou said, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah. You're telling me to go tell Ahab now after all of this. I'm out. I'm just trying to find some water for the animals. Can't you go tell him? He doesn't say that in the scripture, but can't you do it? Well, listen at it. Verse 12. And it shall come to pass. This is Obadiah speaking. It's like, you know what, Elijah, I know you got this request, but I just feel like things ain't going to work out. It's going to come to pass that as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find that, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. All right. So Obadiah is saying, this is, there's at least two ways that I've looked at this. So I want to share both with you. And this is where, Dre, I want you to turn to Ezekiel. We're a little bit from Ezekiel, the third chapter. We'll start at the 14th verse. It may not be the same, but I just want us to at least see something. It seems that Obadiah is telling Elijah that, you know what, if I do what you're asking me to do and I go tell the king, God might call you to go somewhere else. Why is this even a thought? Well, he's been gone for about 3.5 years. So it's like, okay, it looks like Elijah didn't tell anybody what was up. And he didn't have to if God didn't tell him to. But you've been gone. So now I'm finna go tell him you're here. And suppose God called you to go somewhere else. Some think that this could be that God might lift him up, you know, in a supernatural way. So I do want to at least look at one, you know, so this is not the same context, but it's an example of what some commenters would say. This is around the time, if you were to read Ezekiel chapters 1 through 3, you see where Ezekiel in the first chapter gets the vision. There's the spirit, there's the four creatures, there's the four will, and you see there's moving and there's great, oh, wow. Thunder, lightning, wonder, amazement, terror, the awesomeness of God. Second chapter, you start seeing how wherever the spirit moved, the creatures move, and then the wills would move where they would move. And so when you get to the end of that chapter, it starts talking about the spirit and the voice of the Lord. Third chapter, Dreep. So it's following in that line. Why am I making this connection? Because the 12th verse of 1 Kings 18, this is the spirit of the Lord might move you. I think it might be the first, but I can't say that it's not. Maybe something like this. Why do I even say that? We know that Elijah was translated. So I don't really know. So let's look at Ezekiel. I think it was 3. I want you to read verses 14 through about to 16, and then we might jump down and look at one more verse in that third chapter.
So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of Yahweh was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river of Shebar. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying.
Okay, that's really good. Because, I mean the whole thing is good, because you see God says, this is my word. Now give him my word. If you look at what we got going on with Elijah, God tells Elijah, you tell him I said this. Now this is the pronouncement. We're dealing with in Ezekiel, a wicked, hard-necked, stubborn people. You look over here at what we got in Kings. You're looking at a king that's stubborn, stiff-necked, and so forth. So you've got something similar going on. I'm not telling you it's exactly the same, but this is one of the reasons why some people would say that. If you were to look at the 22nd verse in the 8th chapter of Ezekiel, deals with some of this too. It says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth in the plain, and I will talk with thee there. So Elijah waiting on when God tell him to go to the people. So what two things have we just said about this 12th verse? Could be that Obadiah is thinking you might go away again. And maybe Obadiah didn't know if God took him or whatever, but you were gone. It could be, because he obviously recognized Obadiah, that God maybe had dealt with Elijah and maybe had done something supernatural. So I wanted us to look a little bit at that. So let's now continue on with where we are. We've got about 10 more verses in what some might call this narrative. So, and it came to pass, back at the 12, it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come to tell Ahab, and he can't find me after I've done what you said, my life is in peril. He shall slay me, but I thy servant. Fear the Lord from my youth. I've been faithful. I don't want to die. Was it not told my Lord Elijah? Didn't you hear what I did? What I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? Didn't I tell you she killed them? She killed a bunch of them. She didn't kill 100. How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave. And I fed them with bread and water. I was scared, but I was trusting in God. We got to have a remnant. Help me, Lord. I'll do what you say. Now you tell me to do this. Suppose God calls you away. Listen, 14.
And now thou sayest, go tell thy lord the king, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. Wow, he had the courage to hide him, but now the courage seems like it's waning.
I'll say this. Let's just think about situations that we've had. So I can try and teach this lesson, but when it comes to the situation and or the circumstance where the heat is turned on, we got to do what Elijah did, and that's trust. One of the things that I said in the beginning, that he was faithful, but he was patient. 3 years he's waiting. 3 years it was an adverse situation. The bird, the unlikely bird, the unclean bird is getting food from him, where the bird would normally eat that for himself. The river, it dries up. You're in a place that's in enemy territory. All these things that in our minds make no sense. God never has to make sense or get to man. He doesn't have to get counsel from man. If we could learn that thing. So to trust God in the various situations that seem to us so insurmountable. Good Lord. Oh my goodness. Learn Gary. But he will make a way for you to escape. So I use an application from a scripture that I think we know of. He makes a way for you to escape. And so now you're telling me to go do this. Don't you know what Jezebel is doing? Don't you know that Ahab is really just a puppet? Ahab's the king, but he married this woman, and she's really the king. She's the queen king. Now, I said I wanted to look a little bit in Revelation, so I know it seems perhaps like I'm deviating. But I think when people go and they read Revelation and they don't understand, and I'm not saying I understand all of Revelation perfectly, but when the scripture will speak of there maybe will be a quote from the Old Testament or a person, a historical figure from the Old Testament, maybe we should go back and look and see what was really going on. So why don't you turn to Revelation, the 12th chapter, and I hope I wrote this down. If I didn't, it's Revelation, the 12th chapter, and I'm thinking it might be, I don't remember, might be around that, let's see, 16 verse. Let me turn to it. If you see Jezebel somewhere around that 16th verse, this is where he's talking to the church in Thyatira, I believe. Revelation, the second chapter. And it's around. Second? Yeah, okay, Revelation's the second chapter. Mm-hmm. And let's start with the 18th verse. So if you've read Revelation, you know that it's talking about the seven churches. And when we think churches, we need to think people who are supposed to belong to God. And we saw the video. I know it's like, okay, how does this fit? Just hang with me. I want to see what have we seen about Jezebel so far last week and this week. The king married a wicked woman. This woman she's killing God's prophets. Don't we understand right now in the land that they want to kill God's word? They want to stifle the Christian. I'm not talking about people who just say they're Christian. No, the people that honor God in obedience with their lives. Yeah, sometimes you have to repent, but your soul desire is to please the Father. That's it. Live by his word. Not you live any kind of way and then say, oh, he knows my heart. Be afraid. Tell me to be afraid. You better be afraid. Are you there? Revelation 2:18. We're going to read about four verses there. Read, please. And unto the angel, go.
And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds.
That's good. Now, some say that there might be a woman, it may have been a woman in that assembly, that church. It was a church actually named Jezebel. There might have been some fornication there. But there's also a possibility that we're looking at what we see this first Jezebel mentioned in Kings here, what she did, how she turned the people of God away from being faithful to his law, his word, his government. That religious ceremony, I want to say religious, but in terms that we can perhaps better understand it, to serving the God of Baal. And even if it is the first thing that I mentioned about that Jezebel, you see that there's a likeness. What? Turning my people away from serving me, from giving me their allegiance. Fornication, whether it's with the physical body or a spiritual, it is wrong. It is a sin, and God has judgment for it. People keep talking about Jezebel being adulterous. What did she cause God's people to do? How did she influence them? Now let's go back to where we were. This Jezebel, having killed prophets, she is going to be very indignant when she finds out about Elijah. Lord, when we get to that next week, I don't know if we'll get to 19, but we got a few more verses here. So we're looking at this 15th verse. So after he says, and you're telling me to go tell Ahab, that's what Obadiah says, he'll kill me. 15th verse. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, the Lord of the captain of all the armies in heaven, before whom I stand. He said it twice. In the 17th chapter, in the first verse, he said, I stand before him. I stand before him. He gives me his orders. Before whom I stand, this 15th verse said, and Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. Don't worry, Obadiah. I'm not going to run away. God has given me this to talk to you and to talk to Ahab. 16th verse, Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Interesting, this next verse. It keeps saying, and it came to pass. I don't know if that's a few days. I don't know if that's a week. It could be hours, but it's some time passed here. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You know what it says? This is comical, but it's really not. We have to watch the language of those that oppose themselves before God and make us sometimes feel intimidated. Because sometimes with their words and the way they phrase things, it'll make us feel like, I don't have an answer for that. Let's know God. And in spite of, let's know God. May God's word be in our heart so that he can give us the courage to speak. This fool, this king said, you're the one troubling Israel. I said, what? Ahab, you're the one that married this wicked woman. Ahab, you're the one that you continue in the ways of Jeroboam, causing the people to sin. And now you blame me. Do you ever find that when you tell somebody the truth, it's called a confrontation sometimes, that they will, I'm thinking, echar la culpa, to put the blame on you, the culpability on you. And sometimes they say it so well, it's just like, oh, I can't argue against that myself. I don't think so. You the one being disobedient. Let me tell you, Ahab, I told you 3.5 years ago that it wasn't going to rain till I told you it's going to, till I tell you it's going to rain. God has sent me to you, Ahab, you weak-minded little something of a piece of a king. Well, I know it makes me sound mean, don't it? Well, how does God look at him? Okay. All right. So my wife's laughing at me. So Ahab's like, partner, you've been troubling the nation. Do you know what that means? I mean, like, I got to kill you. Elijah, we've been looking for you. APB suspended, found the culprit. You've been troubling the nation. Didn't they say that about Paul and Silas? Turn the city upside down, Acts 16 chapter. Oh, the scriptures show stuff like that. And this is how Elijah responded. He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou. My wife said, it ain't me.
Make me think of that song. It ain't me, babe. Anyway, and thy father's house,
Ahab, it's you and your father's house. That's Omri all the way back to Jeroboam. Like, we'll say a different dynasty, but let's say father. If Satan can be the father of lies and you follow him, then it's like he's your father. Romans 6 and 16. And he answered, said, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and thy father's house, in that ye, listen at the problem, ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed after these fake, these incomparable gods, these lesser gods. Let me take fake back, lesser gods. Now you say, I don't remember what the title was, the highest insubordination. So Ahab is telling Elijah, you've been insubordinate. And in a sense, you say, yes. But Elijah's like, no, I follow someone higher than you. We must obey God rather than man. I think that's Acts, I want to say. Maybe the fourth chapter somewhere. If it's not Acts 4, somewhere in the second chapter. So Elijah tells another word, and on the other hand, Elijah, no, you're in subordination. It doesn't say that. You forsook the commandments of God. Now, who do you think you are? Ahab, we're going to have a competition real soon. We're not going to get to it tonight. There's three or four more verses that I want to look at. So Ahab is reprimanded by Elijah. I said the king's power stops with the prophet, even though the prophet might be killed. My God, we got two faithful men doing things independently of one another, but totally dependent on God. Sometimes we have people in the family of God, brothers and sisters in the family of God, and they're doing things on God's behalf. We need to pray for one another. We need to help one another. But sometimes what somebody's doing might not seem as great as the other, but God's using them both. Call for both of them to be faithful. Listen at the 19th verse. Now, therefore, send. This is Elijah talking. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel, well, I was looking at it in the map. It's on the northwestern side, somewhere near the northernmost point of Israel. It's about 10 to maybe 12 miles from the area of Phoenicia. Remember, that's where Zarephath and Zidonia was. So Mount Carmel is up there, near the border, if you will, of these two nations. He says, gather all these people for me, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400. That's 850 of the men servant for Baal, which eat at Jezebel's table. They have a good time. They come and dine at Jezebel's table. They eat, they dine, they fornicate. They do all kind of stuff, and they eat from her philosophy, culture, and religion. And we finna have a competition, a holy competition. Well, get them together. Because the mountain represents government. We're going to do this on this mountain up here. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered all the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Ahab probably feeling really good. Jezebel probably feeling really good. We'll kill that little man. He thinks he's something. 21st verse, and Elijah came unto all the people and posed the question to him. He's the mouthpiece of God. Listen at what he said. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, Yahweh Almighty, follow him. But if Baal, whom you serve, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Not a word. And they never said a mumbling word. I wonder why. Testing time's coming. When in that moment, we have to have the truth. But this man is being bold. We can see another side of Elijah that looks fearful, but he's been the servant of God. Listen, this is the verse where we're going to stop tonight. Then Elijah said unto all the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. That's what he's thinking. But Baal's prophet are 450 men. And we looked at the both of them together, 850 men. Lord have mercy. Looks like he's standing alone. I don't know where Obadiah is right now. Obadiah might be watching this. If he's not watching, he's probably hearing about it. He's probably just very thankful that Elijah didn't go anywhere because God sent him away. But here's Elijah, and I think many times in our life when situation may not be definitely, it's not exactly the same, but the weight can feel so so heavy. We got to trust in the Lord. Sometimes God will deliver in a miraculous way. Sometimes he lets us go through the pain and he still delivers in a miraculous way. What do you mean? That the competition that we so often know about with the bullocks and the water and so forth, Lord willing, we'll read about it next week. But there is some insubordination that took place here. And the world will call us to be insubordinate unto God and show our allegiance to the ways of the world. And we have to be prayerful and hid in Christ. And that we, you know, that let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. The words of my mouth, it's indicative of the heart, because Jesus talks about the heart. And the Bible talks about the heart. So whatever's in the heart, it's like what your mouth's going to talk about. And if you just hide it when you're around certain people, it's still in your heart. So what's in your heart? Trusting and obeying. God, his insubordination took place here, but the highest insubordination was not Elijah disobeying Ahab. It's Ahab disobeying God Almighty. This is where we're going to stop tonight. Lord willing, we'll finish out through this chapter on next Tuesday night. So God, we just thank you for your word. And if nobody else remembers, I want to remember, as I do, like any lesson that we have or text that we read, because we don't know when you're going to call us from labor to reward. Help us to be faithful and help us not to be fearful. And help us to grow. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. We are now going to open up for discussion if there's going to be any on this evening.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
No, that title is something else when you think about the highest insubordination. It really makes me look at what Obadiah did and put it in the light of what Peter and John did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be true to God and not man. And when you think about that, that's what we're always asked. Who's often laws will they will conflict. They will, the ungodly will make their laws or the things that they require through culture to supersede that which God has said, so that you can curry safety, favor, position. And in the case with Elijah, when he decided not to curry favor, so just let me die. I still don't want to curry favor with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that some of Hebrews chapter 11 was revealed when they talk about they wandered around in goat skins and sheepskin and dens and caves of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to think about David, but those men were in the caves, and I don't think they were all in their pack like sardine. They couldn't walk around. They couldn't move. You know, they were in there strapped down. But that's our thing. Who are we going to be true to? In spite of or despite what we see, are we going to really be true to God and his standard and his laws? Or will we sell our soul for something else?
Mm.
So, you know, there's all kind of Jezebels in the world that can punish one or try to punish one. But just having the nerve to say that you got a higher law than what our administration is putting out there. So thank you for the lesson and that thought. Is a good thought to hold in my mind anyway.
Yes, sir.
That's my comment.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you could tell it wasn't somebody else's.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Well, I'd say, Tim, you can hear influence of some of the things that you've taught us, because there's some things I hadn't really thought about. But for instance, the how, you know, the word of the Lord appeared. You know, several thoughts that come to my mind while I was speaking. But anyway, so it's been good. to learn more, you know, the scriptures and what things actually, what they mean. So anyway, thank you for that. Is there anyone else this evening? Maybe not. I'll wait a little bit more to see, and if not, we will close the class. Well, I thank everybody for calling in, and it's my desire to finish the 18th chapter. We stopped at verse 22. It goes to verse 46. So where I was saying competition, we're gonna see the battle. I'm thinking battle between the gods. It's a little bit of that in Judges, where Dagon falls before God. So it's on a grander scale. So thank you for calling in. Let's continue to pray for one another, and but willing, can connect back up on this coming Thursday evening and feast some more from the table of God's word. Thank you all for calling in. Love you all.
We love you too. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.